And welcome to the program. This is Weather and Ag in Focus. It is 1:06 in the afternoon. Temperatures outside are sitting close to 70 degrees. We've got a full rundown on your forecast coming up here in just a little bit. Meteorologist Justin Storm, Ag Director Bridget Riedel is here. And, well, hey, look what the wind blew in. We got another meteorologist over here. And I think his name is Dean Wysocki. How are you doing, Dean?
Good.
Just good. All right, good. I'm glad to hear. Good. That's better than
who's
bad
that guy?
In these cases.
You know what October is?
What is October?
That is the big month of transition.
So what does that mean?
It means that we have a big swing in weather typically during the month of October.
Really? What kind of weather changes do we usually experience in this so-called month of
transition? We can go from 90s to a blizzard.
Can we really?
Yes.
Elaborate further.
I don't know how much more elaboration there needs to be done there now.
Oh, I was setting you up to spit out some crazy facts and statistics, but that's cool.
It's just remember, don't ever forget that.
So here,
that
we could go
October is a month of transition.
Yesterday's record was 96 degrees, and today's record is 90, both set in 2023.
Both set last year?
While also a week from today, just a couple years ago, there was 2 to 3 feet of snow that fell across eastern North Dakota.
Thus,
so I was trying to set you up, and you swung and missed.
They call that the month of transition.
This is a great
example. I lobbed that softball to you. There,
that's how it went.
At least you hit it.
There we go. I'm glad that I hit it. That's all right. How was your vacation?
More importantly.
Dan? Oh, more importantly. All right, yeah.
Yes.
It's Porktober. Pork month. Get out your bacon.
I thought it was sober October.
I thought it was sober October.
You can have that too.
I thought it was sober October.
You can't have sober October and pork October.
Darn, failed that one.
You have to have both.
Well,
or none.
It depends on who you are. But frankly, I just had a BLT for lunch, so here I am.
Nice.
Living it up.
All right.
Bacon is bacon. It's its own. But like,
I don't like
pork ribs, pork roast, the ham. I don't know. It's not my favorite thing.
Okay. Bridget, do you put mayo on your BLT?
Well, you have to put mayo.
Miracle Whip.
BLT.
Miracle Whip, yeah. No, you don't.
Miracle Whip.
You just eat it dry? What are you, mad?
Some put different...
Are you crazy?
Some put maybe ranch on it. Some put different sauces on it. You don't. That's why I asked. Mm-hmm. You put mayo on it.
Fair enough.
Dan,
but if you eat a BLT dry, you're crazy.
Oh, yeah.
You are
that
nuts.
I will agree. Yeah.
I do not care.
Yeah. So, Dean, did you have any pork products to celebrate while you were on your vacation?
I did.
Breaking for breakfast, perhaps.
Tell us all the details.
We had a big pool party at my buddy's house, and he had a whole pork shoulder that he roasted on the grill. It was so good, and just had beautiful, tasty pulled pork. Oh, so good.
How good was it?
It was beyond good. It was.
Oh,
I'd give it a 9 out of 10.
Really? Well, what was missing to make it a 10 out of 10?
You know, some people like a few more burnt ends, maybe.
Sure, okay.
And there wasn't. Fair. It was, but it was very good.
Oh.
How long
did he cook it for?
I don't know. I would have to ask.
That's
him.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, well, all right. What else did you do while you were down there? You were down there for several days.
A lot of pool time and not as much hiking. We wanted to go hiking more, but it was too. I'm sorry. 110 to 115 every day. That's not good for hiking.
But Dean.
It's a dry heat.
It is a dry heat. It's a total dry heat.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, no.
Did you hear my ring hit the microphone there? It was like, ching, ching. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't mean for that to happen.
No, they have suffered under record heat almost every day over the last month. I mean, they had a week break, and then it was right back into the triple digits. It's even hot for them. Even hot for them, so... But our weather is nicer. It was nice to come home to cooler weather. And even this is above normal, but it feels good.
How good is it?
A lot of sunshine out there and temperatures currently in the 60s in the Northern Valley and right around 70 in the central and southern parts of the valley. And you're seeing plenty of sunshine, a little breezy northwest winds. And then as we head into tomorrow, a little bit cooler and then we could see our first frost of the season.
Yeah.
Albeit light. And scattered. I'm not looking for anything widespread, but Friday morning could have a little bit of patchy light frost, and then we warm right back up, and it turns windy over the weekend.
How windy does it
Why do I feel like I'm on a Johnny Carson episode here?
I just thought I'd give you the wind sound effects. I'm here to help.
And Bridget's helping.
Every time.
I just want to know how windy
it's going to
be.
He probably doesn't even know who Johnny Carson
is,
Bridget.
Use a more relevant reference here. Come on. View your demographic.
Our demographic would know who Johnny Carson is.
Yeah, but your joke is directed to me.
No, well, Bridget understood
right.
it. Okay. Bridget understood.
It did.
That's fine.
But I would... But the reference would have to be Jay Leno in order for it to be a little more updated.
I think that's
Conan
even old
O'Brien,
for him.
Perhaps.
I know who Jay is.
Conan? Okay.
Yeah.
I know who he is. He's that loud guy. He's on at night. Spoke a lot.
Narrow
into the
that
camera.
Down.
Yeah, right.
Some
yeah.
late night and
Narrow
then a later
down.
Night and a late, late night show.
Oh, man.
You didn't get to stay up too late.
I stayed up
too late.
Oh,
by the way, the potential of a light frost. I've already gotten 3 messages saying what that would make sure that the flies and mosquitoes get thinned out. So there's some excitement about a light frost
terrible.
Coming.
Yeah,
they're so bad.
Additionally, I'm getting a lot of questions about why I have a preference for Miracle Whip. Hey, some things are personal. That one's mine.
What else would you use? Hellman's? I mean,
well, probably.
Yeah, I suppose
Miracle Whip
yeah.
over mayo.
Oh, Miracle!
Yeah.
Miracle Whip is great
instead of mayo.
Yeah. Yes. I'm not the biggest fan of Miracle Whip. Not my
if you
favorite.
Grew up in the 70s, it was all about the tangy zip of Miracle Whip, and we can talk about processed foods all we want, but come on. Our moms were all about mac and cheese in a box, Velveeta, Miracle Whip, Hi-C in a can. I mean, we really lived the high life.
Hi-C in a can. Oh, man. Oh, that was the best. And we drank it out of the can, and that probably wasn't a good idea. I mean, it's not like a 12-ounce can. This was, you know.
Sure, yeah. Well, of course. What about that astronaut drink?
It was Tang.
Tang, yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
It was okay.
Yeah, you weren't a big fan?
So, anywho, Tang's all right.
Oh, okay.
I was never going to space, so I didn't worry about it.
Well, that's some of us.
That's true. Okay, so how about something that's space-like? And that is the fact that PTX Trimble now has an aftermarket assembly that can be used on most tractors and grain carts to make it autonomous. Mm. So you can mount it on a tractor that's year 2014 and newer. The autonomous use of grain carts is huge because if you calculate the cost, every 10 minutes a combine is sitting still, meaning it's waiting for a truck or it's not harvesting and it's trying to get to the end of the field, you have a loss of about $200 per 10 minutes. So it is a great idea to continue to think ahead about these things. The combine driver controls the cart, brings it out to them to offload, and then can send it back to the edge of the field to empty the cart into a waiting truck. But this is a cart that pairs with any brand of tractor, so that is a little bit of a step up versus some of the others that might be out on the market. And I think during harvest season, if you're short on labor, people have been thinking about these things. Maybe you didn't get it done this year, but you're thinking about it for next year.
There you go. And how much did you say that was for 10 minutes?
$200.
Yeah, I can see that add up.
Yeah, I would say that's going to cut into your bottom line, ladies and gentlemen.
So
that would be a bit of a problem.
Is that I can't imagine that's just the cost of fuel. There's no way.
As far as that $200?
Yeah.
I don't think it's necessarily the cost of it's fuel, it's your labor cost, it's you have to factor in all your machine costs, but here's one other thing. If you aren't getting your crop out of the field and you have an impending storm coming, that's another problem. So for example, I have some agronomists that mentioned canola, which is still being combined up in the northern part of the state. With the wind that we had on Sunday, if y'all remember that, there was canola that was combined on the same field Monday. They combined on the same field and then combined after that wind came through. And there was a 500 pound per acre difference in the amount of canola that had shelled out and fallen to the ground due to the wind. So that right there is talking about how much it can cost you if you're not getting that crop off as quickly as you can.
So get harvest done by Saturday.
That would be excellent if you can. Sugar beets are right now on the go. Call our guy, Justin. Get in the tractor. I got
Too
a guy
busy.
All lined up for you.
Too busy.
Dude.
I got too much stuff going on. I can't find any time.
Isn't softball over yet?
Softball's done. Yeah, softball's done.
He's busy with his game. He's busy farming on his game. He doesn't have time.
I was actually flying planes now.
Yeah, he's moved on.
I flew from Grand Forks all the way down to Fargo, did a couple loop-de-loops through downtown, and then I came back around and landed at Hector.
Nice.
Very nice.
Now I just got to get a real airplane. I could do it in real life.
Well, we've got
that
one here.
Better.
Good point.
We've got one here.
Do you think they'd trust me to fly it? I could be there. Like, I'm basically an on, what do you want to call that? I'm always on call pilot.
Rated.
Like, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
Do you have enough hours on the game, though?
I have plenty of hours on the game.
Well, talk to Steve.
See, flying is the easy. Flying is very easy. I think it's... almost anybody could fly an airplane. The most difficult part is just landing.
Yes.
Flying, anybody could do it. You could give a 15-year-old kid an airplane, they can fly it around, no problem. I think you can get a pilot's license at 16.
I think you can, actually, at 16. Mm-hmm. I remember flying with my aunt and uncle back when I was a teenager, and this was on a commercial flight, and my uncle had been in the Navy, and he always said you could tell after a pilot had retired from the military and was flying commercial planes what branch of the military he was from. Because the Air Force guys could touch down nice and gentle. They were used to landing on the ground. It was the Navy guys who came in and hit it hard to take the hook because they were used to landing on carriers. That was the difference in a commercial plane.
There you go. All right. Well, we got some guests coming up here, Bridget. We have two guests. You want to introduce who those are going to be?
We do. What a busy day if we've got ourselves lined up with two guests. Okay. So we are going to be visiting today with Zach Bateson. He's with the National Agricultural Genotyping Center right here in Fargo, and he's going to be in person with you guys. And then we are joined by Jane Hunt. Jane is with Nourish the Future. I met Jane out at Big Iron this year, and she brings to life all sorts of seminars, teaching agricultural science experiments to teachers in North Dakota. How does she do it, and why is she working with Zach? We're going to find out when we come back. And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus. Glad you're here. Hope things are going well in the field or wherever you may be. Wanted to make sure to say thank you to Red Wing Shoes for their help with our Here We Grow project. We're custom farming 20 acres of corn by Glendon, Minnesota. And if it's harvest time and you've realized your boots are worn out, if and when we get one of those rain delays, or if you're pushing through and getting a finish, don't forget to go check out a new pair of boots at Red Wing. They will be happy to help you out. North Dakota State Services, Mark Wagner, he has stepped up to the plate to help us too. And Mark would be more than willing to help with all your needs when it comes to farm transition, estate planning, whether it's on farm, off farm, agribusiness, or anywhere else. Give Mark a call, ND Estate Services. Today, we get the great fun of having two guests. One in studio with the guys, and one coming in to us by video. So it's going to be kind of a fun day of using all of our technology. And our first guest is Zach. And make sure I'm saying this right, Zach. Zach Bateson?
Bateson, close.
Bateson. Okay. And you're with the National Ag Genotyping Center. What's that?
Great question, Bridget. So the National Ag Genotyping Center is a diagnostic lab here in Fargo. We were established in 2016 to kind of help in agriculture, whether it's the farmer in the field trying to diagnose an issue or an academic wanting to add on some diagnostic work into their research projects.
And you are a fairly, as you said, new site, because I remember the excitement when it opened as a place that was just unexpected to land in Fargo versus anywhere else in the country.
Yeah, there was some competition on where we would land, and I think we had some excellent support from the North Dakota Department of Agriculture, and so that brought us here into Fargo, and the rest is history.
So with Zach, I want to introduce Jane Hunt, and Jane is with Nourish the Future. And then after we introduce Jane, why in the world are these guys working together? But Jane, tell us about who you are, why you are a Big Iron, and what does Nourish the Future mean to education in North Dakota?
Well, thanks so much for having us on. Nourish the Future is a teacher-generated program that helps to look helps science teachers teach through the lens of agriculture. So we're not necessarily focused on ag educators, but regular ed science teachers who may not know very much about agriculture. So it's a kind of a novel approach, and science is science, and there's a lot of science in agriculture. So we're really trying to bring that message to the North Dakota teachers, and we have been able to do that with the help of North Dakota Corn, North Dakota Soy, and North Dakota Ag in the Classroom.
Now when you're teaching and or educating some of these teachers, is what would be the biggest aha moment that some of these teachers might have, like, oh man, I never even realized, or I never thought of it that way?
So for go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
And then I'll go.
No, you go.
Okay. Well, for me as a researcher, I think there's a lot of parallels between what's happening in agriculture and what's happening in the medical science realm. So for instance, there's antibiotic resistance occurring. You know, we're limited in our medicine to help fight infection, bacterial infections. There's a similar parallel going on in agriculture, and that's herbicide resistance in weeds. And so we're able to make that connection that there's limited chemical control for weed populations, just like there's limited chemical control for bacterial infections, and making and building those connections in general science teachers, like the biology teachers, mm-hmm. letting them know that agriculture is science, and making that connection in a workshop and seeing them kind of fit those two pieces together.
Interesting.
Jane, did you want to add to that?
I would, yeah. From a teacher perspective, I think the biggest aha moments come from the teaching about biofuels. Everyone's putting gasoline in their car, and they don't really understand that there's ethanol in most of those blends. And the biofuel industry with biodiesel is also a big deal. So we make biodiesel in the workshop and show them how they can do that in their classroom. And I think that makes a huge impact. Teachers had no idea that they could even do that. And we show them how to do it over a 2-day workshop without a whole lot of extra material or equipment. And then we send them home with some of those materials so they can do it in their classroom.
So Jane, I heard you say, you know, you have the corn growers, the soybean growers support, and then you have Zach with the National Ag Genotyping Center. How are you guys working together? How did these two things combine in order to start bringing this type of information to teachers across North Dakota?
Well, we're in North Dakota because of Zach. So I'm going to let Zach tell the story.
Sure. So when NAGC got started, we had a pretty big, large board of directors. And included in kind of the start of NAGC is that there was an educational component that everyone wanted. But here's the truth. I'm not in that space. I'm not an educator per se. And so I wanted to find someone that we could partner with. And so our board members consisted of folks from commodity groups across the U.S. And included in that is Ohio. And so one of our board members said, hey, there's this great program in Ohio called Grow Next Gen, and it's built upon or funded through their Soybean Council. And I'm like, this is a perfect opportunity for us to kind of get into the educational game. There's already someone in Ohio that's doing this. Let's somehow convince them to come to Fargo, North Dakota in January after a huge snowstorm. I think they were all just shocked. They were taking pictures of all of our snow piles all around. Somehow we got enough of them together. We had not only our board of directors, but we had a lot of local commodity groups send a representative to this one meeting. And I think Jane and their group just kind of blew everyone away and said, hey, we need to bring this to North Dakota.
And Zach, what other states are you in here in the Midwest?
So we are only located in Fargo as a diagnostic lab, but Nourish the Future is in multiple states, which Jane can talk a little bit more of.
Yeah, at that particular meeting, in fact, we met a representative from the National Corn Growers, and we talked with her at the airport before we came back home, and she was all about, let's get this to be a national program. So we started out, I don't know, 25 years ago in Ohio, just working for the Ohio Soybean Council. And then we started working with Ohio Corn and Wheat. And then we had this opportunity to go and talk to people in Fargo, North Dakota. So yeah, we were very enamored by the whole thing. Like, oh, Fargo, it's such a exotic place to go from Ohio. But no, it, I mean, it turned into such a great opportunity. And the National Corn Growers at that time were really looking for a way to expand in education. And so we just happened to be able to do that. So the program is called Nourish the Future, and it's the program itself is sponsored by National Corn Growers and the United Soybean Board. However, in North Dakota, I believe we've just, you know, made such good friends with the Soybean Council and the corn group that I think it's really become something that they are committed to. They think it's important for their teachers. They've sent teachers to our leadership program, which is a full year program that teachers can apply for to become better leaders in their schools and help us to spread this message that agriculture really is science. And then they create some curriculum for us. So the two-day workshops are pretty inclusive. We do water quality and soil. We do biotechnology as it applies to agriculture. So that's where Zach is our resident expert. And we also do some plant science and some populations. So talking about why it's important that students understand it, that we're feeding the world. So a lot of these pieces kind of all came together after that meeting. And we've now been doing the program for, I think, what is it? This was our fifth year, I believe, in Fargo. So we're really looking forward to this next summer. We'll be coming back. And we've probably had, I don't know, 100 to 150 teachers come through the two-day workshop. So we've also gotten some really great partnership from Tharaldson Ethanol Plant. We go there every year. Grand Farm helps us to host an industry dinner, and they've been great partners. John McAvoy and the microbiology department at NDSU has allowed us to have the workshop in his facility each year. So we've been very lucky. We've made some really good partnerships. We have some really good relationships, I think. And I want to thank you, Bridget, too, for introducing me around at Big Iron. I got so many great contacts and had so many great conversations. It was wonderful.
Yeah, well, I know we got a bunch more questions for the two of you, but we got to get caught up with local news here real quick. So we're going to hit that, but when we come back, we'll rejoin this conversation with Zach and Jane. And if you have any questions you'd like to ask, feel free to reach out 701-293-9000. That's the Red Wing Shoe Shoe Line. Email weatherorag@flagfamily.com. Comment boxes there on Facebook and YouTube Live, as well as Bridget's personal phone. You can text her to get those questions answered. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
And welcome back to Weather and Ag and Focus, 1:37 in the afternoon. I want to thank everybody for joining us. A beautiful day out there. Temperature is in the upper 60s to low 70s. And before we went to break, I had a question here. Didn't get to ask it, so we'll throw it out now. So last night, guys, on our VP debate, one of the topics they brought up was how we need more biofuels here in the U.S., how we need more ethanol, and how that they tied it into agriculture and climate change, and basically saying we need more biofuels, which are cleaner. Is this something that you're incorporating in your studies at all? And Zach or Jane, either one.
I'm looking at Jane.
Yes,
you're looking
do.
At Jane. Jane, I think Zach's he's tossing it to you.
Well, yeah, we do talk about the importance of those biofuels. We talk about biodiesel, renewable diesel, and sustainable aviation fuel, which is coming online more and more. And then we do talk about ethanol. And as I said, we go to Tharaldson. We spend a half an hour in their lab and another half an hour touring the facility, understanding the process of how ethanol is made from corn. The statistics are not my forte, but the science is amazing. So the idea that we are making co-products while we're making ethanol that can feed our livestock and be used in other processes like carbonation of beverages. So there's lots of different aspects that are sustainable when you start talking about biofuels in general.
Okay.
So I didn't want to jump in before Justin. I think he's been waiting.
Oh, that's fine if he wanted to. I wanted to ask, when it comes to recruitment from students to become employees, how do you go about those efforts in terms of recruiting either for students or for teachers?
Well, we have a network of teachers that we reach out to, and we have, I think, several thousand teachers that are part of our mailing list and our email contacts on Nourish the Future. All of the Nourish the Future website curriculum is free and available to teachers, regardless of whether they come to a workshop or not. When they come to the workshop, then we lead them through the activity. So it's very hands-on. We're not talking to them and saying, this is how you do it. We're actually making them do it. So they feel much more comfortable leading their students in those activities. One of the things that we probably need to improve on is talking more and more about that career development and that workforce development. And that was another reason why I did attend at the while I was at Big Iron that week. I also went to the Grand Farm Tech Connect event, where they had young professionals from different aspects of agriculture-related careers, and they were talking to students about what they needed to do and what kinds of degrees they might need, what kind of coursework they might want to take, what kinds of research is being done right now in agriculture. So it was a really comprehensive event for students to learn more about ag-related careers.
I think there's a lot that folks are listening and saying, or a lot of folks are listening and saying, okay, this sounds phenomenal. Can I be a part of it? So Jane, Zach, are you looking for support from other commodity groups, from farmers, so that when you're hosting seminars in North Dakota, you have more places to go for field trips? Can Dean and Justin and I come and help teach a class to teachers one day? What do you need? How can we all help?
We got to see your credentials first, I think. I don't know.
Credentials?
We'll have to watch some of this live taping stuff. Yeah. See what it's like. I heard some conversation about mayonnaise and Miracle Whip earlier. I don't know. Yeah,
if you're going to look back flying at prior airplanes. Shows and discussion, we're out. You're never going to let us back in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
but
we're
really,
always...
What are you looking for?
Yeah, we're always looking for partners, whether it's you coming to the industry dinner. We set it up so anyone that's in agriculture can come to a dinner and interact with the teachers. And then sometimes that's a lot of aha moments too. So you're taught a very long, you know, day of activities. And sometimes teachers are wondering, well, how does this fit into agriculture? And that's exactly what that dinner does, is it brings industry there and they start sharing stories and you start seeing those connections with, oh, that's what we just talked about. We talked about biofuels today. We made biofuels. Oh, this person works in the biofuel industry and they're able to connect on that. They're able to ask them, you know, well, what's your background? What kind of career or what kind of education did you need? So we're always looking for more industry partners.
Yeah, that was why it was such an advantage to meet you and, you know, come to Big Iron, because I was able to talk to other folks. And like, I talked to folks that are doing GIS mapping for farmers and looking at drainage patterns. That's not anything we cover. Although we talk about water quality, we don't really talk about how do you keep the water off your field when it's too wet, and how do you keep water on your field when it's not wet enough. So there's a lot of physics there that you know, teachers really don't understand. So it's really great to, you know, have some of those professionals in the room talking about, this is what I do for a living, and this is how it helps.
I think those are a big deal, is when you can put that hands-on spin to it. When you are working with teachers, has there been a request from them for specific areas that they want to learn more to take back into the classrooms? Maybe that's coming from a student request, or have you noticed any of those types of trends as well?
Well, a lot of our teachers are continuously in touch with us. you know, they'll send us an email and say, I have a student who's doing a project on honeybees, for instance, and Zach's lab is a great resource for that. So Zach has done a lot of mentoring for us, for individual students who are doing projects, and he's also created a lot of great curriculum for us using bioinformatics and some really more higher level but easily accessible material that I did not have the expertise to do. So it's been a really great partnership that way.
Yeah, for the listeners, I have a shirt that says nerd on it. So I do a lot of nerdy type activities with Jane. And
that's nerd squared, though.
It's the ultimate
super nerd.
It's ultimate nerd for sure. Yeah. Yep.
It's awesome.
I'll be honest with you. We all should have a shirt that says that because we have our favorite things. It's totally fire. Right?
Yeah. I got one for both of you. During this whole process and learning more about it and figuring out exactly what it is that you're doing and being or doing it for a little bit, what has been your favorite thing about it so far for both of you? Zach, I'll have you start if you got one right away.
Yeah, it's really building connections and network with teachers. Mm-hmm. Personally, you know, probably if you ask anyone, they have a favorite teacher, they have a favorite subject. And my career was inspired by my high school science teacher. And so I was able to go back the last couple years and say, hey, Mr. Ufford, can I give a talk? Because you inspired me. I want to try to inspire some of your students.
Mm-hmm,
and so,
cool.
Yeah, like building those connections with not only my own personal teachers, but also teachers around here that are just hungry for information. They know that they live in an area of agriculture, but they might not know how to get their feet in with an activity with their mm-hmm. general biology students. And so this program helps build that.
When you mentioned that you build curriculum, but you also have in-person sessions, where can people find that? How can teachers start to access it? You know, some of our favorite things on this show are beer, beef, and I think education and helping. So we really want to know how people can find you, if you can send us press releases, how we can help you get more teachers involved.
Yeah, we would love that. The website that we host is called nourishthefuture.org. There are events that are all around the country. We have expanded beyond, obviously, North Dakota was one of our first states, but we have expanded. I think we were in 7 different states last year, from as far west as Nebraska to as far south as Kentucky. And we're working now with Florida Dairy to put some animal science curriculum up on Nourish the Future. So there's a lot of, a lot of connections in terms of state connections. Plus, we have teacher leaders that have gone through our leadership program, and we're still taking applications for that leadership program. If teachers would want to learn more about agriculture and how to be a leader of workshops, we had 3 North Dakota teachers that went through that program this past summer, facilitated the workshop for us. So they're North Dakota grown and North Dakota teachers teaching their own. So again, I think that gives it a lot of local connections that coming in from Ohio, I wouldn't normally have. So there, if you go to nourishthefuture.org, again, all things are free on there. All the materials can be downloaded and used. They're aligned with the next gen science standards, which is important in some respects to, teachers who are trying to meet their standards. But they're very easily used. There's a teacher guide as well as a student handout for each one of the lessons. Some of the materials are easily gotten from Amazon, so they're not tremendously specialized things that you might find in a regular classroom, beakers and flasks and hot plates, etc. So, we've tried to make it as user-friendly as possible.
Yeah. And I just want to add, too, for a little plug for the workshops, there is beer, beef, and education at these workshops, too, for the teachers.
So, perfect.
So, you know, just not that you have to, of
that
course, but we do hit all three of those.
We'll be right over.
Yeah.
Yes, please come to the industry dinner. Please, please. Yes. Indeed.
You guys, please keep in touch. Please send us press releases so we know when teachers can sign up to be a part of these, how we can continue to find new education as livestock is added, et cetera. And thank you for joining us today, both Zach and Jane. Yep. We really appreciate what you're doing for teachers and students in North Dakota.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
All right. Well, we got to take a quick moment here. We'll catch up with a few of our sponsors. Come back with a couple more ag topics. Last check on your forecast. And welcome back to the program. Thanks for rejoining us. 1:52 right now in the afternoon. We got a check on your forecast coming up in a moment. If you want to join in the conversation, 701-293-9000. I heard a little rumor around that there would be some changes or some clause dealers that will be changing. Bridget, do you know anything else about this?
Well, the first thing is they're throwing Dean Weissach a birthday party today, so everybody's welcome.
Oh, wow. What did you do to Claus?
They have beef and beer?
Got it in there for you. Oh. They will have beef and beer. Right.
Beef with so, you.
Historically, in this region, Claus combines have been sold through Butler or Ziegler, but that's going to change. So if you have one of those machines, or if you are trading, buying, et cetera, a forage harvester, et cetera, you can do that through January 1st of 2025, or I should say through January of 2025, then service and parts will still be available through 2026. What Claus is doing is they are changing those agreements for service with Ziegler and Butler. They are now going to have their own farm point dealerships. One will be in Jamestown. There's rumored to be two more in North Dakota somewhere. And those farm point hubs will have the service, the parts, and the availability for folks for quite a radius around them. So there's a number of Claus machines over in Minnesota, especially. And so they wanted to make sure that they were able to continue to do service reasonably close to all those folks.
I see. And, you know, you don't really see, you said this is over in Minnesota. You see more of them. I don't see very many Claus around here. Is there an area?
I still see them here.
Really? Up in the valley?
Yep.
I guess all I
still see them.
Go ahead.
It's not as frequent, but they are indeed there. And I see them from time to time, especially the combines. I think forage harvesters are probably an even bigger piece of equipment that people look forward to using because they really have a nice harvester.
Yeah.
The ones that are cutting silage, shooting directly into the truck, that big machine.
Mm-hmm. And what about the trend in used equipment? How has that market been unfolding over the last, so far this year?
Do you guys remember we had a guest a while back, Greg Peterson, goes by Machine Repeat. Mm-hmm. For 35 years, he's been tracking used equipment markets across the U.S. He posts them on social media. He does a newsletter, and he also has a TV segment that he does in regards to used equipment. What he's seeing is that haying equipment like balers are really holding their value, and even forage conditioners, that type of thing. Also, tractors that are 10 years old but are still in good condition, 10 years old or older, those are holding their value pretty well right now. Late model planters, so from 2020 to 2024, those are selling okay. They're not at the highest prices they've been. They've been okay. But if you're looking for a combine, Dean, maybe that's what you want for your birthday.
There you go.
We can get you a combine. Not hard to find right now at pretty reasonable costs.
Is there anything out there on the market that's like just like the hot thing to get? Maybe not specifically a brand or anything like that, but just, you know, if it's a harvester or a plow or a planter or something, where if these come on the market, they're going really quick. I don't know if you've heard anything about that.
This is just a personal opinion, but I think if good condition used skid steers are available, they go real fast because construction folks are looking for them. Farms all have skid steers and want them. They need multiple attachments like buckets, pallet forks, etc. So I think those are probably one of the pieces of equipment that gets moved around real quickly when they're available.
Everybody wants a skid steer. You can do anything with one of those.
You can, and you know, you could move a pallet of crude spirits. North Dakota Crude Spirits wants to remind you that they have a tasting on Friday, October 4th. That'll be at Royal Liquors on Urban Plains Drive. And then on Saturday the 5th, it'll be at Royal Liquors on 25th Street South. Go check them out. You know, maybe it's belated for you, Dean. Notice I'm sliding in everything about Dean's birthday.
I know, right?
Combine. He's getting North Dakota Crude Spirits. All of this
Sweet.
Is coming in for Dean today. What a day.
Look at that. Hey, here's one for
vacation,
you.
Vacation, it goes to work.
Here's one that you probably haven't had much time to prep on, but I wouldn't be surprised if you have a good answer for this, Bridget. With the port strikes that are going on the East Coast with shutdowns from Houston all the way up through the East Coast into Maine, what kind of implications is that going to, one, pose for agriculture in terms of supply chain, but also in terms of exporting grain with harvest going?
Because this affects the Louisiana ports on the Gulf, that's where a lot of our soybeans from Minnesota, Iowa, and Nebraska go out through the, you know, through that port. So that will create some backlogs for them trying to export out. When it comes to importing, fertilizer usually comes back in through there and needs to come up the river on barges, and that gets distributed across the upper Midwest. When you think about farm equipment coming in from Europe, like we were just talking about, Claas, Fendt, et cetera, that usually comes in through East Coast ports. Even more importantly, that whole area that's up in arms, literally Iran, Israel, everybody over there, that's an area where barge traffic needs to come through with fertilizer. Could we see some shortages and delays? Time will tell on what happens with everybody bombing the crap out of each other. Yeah. And additionally, when they are, we're backed up on these ports, just trying to get product in and out for the barge traffic.
But short term, it shouldn't make a big deal. If it goes extended, it will.
Or extended certainly will, but yeah. we've got barges in transit right now with fertilizer on them, and it's the midst of soybean harvest where we're trying to move product south.
Yep.
There you go. Big issues, fun things to keep an eye on. We'll try our best to do it for you. We're back tomorrow, 1 to 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The Jay Thomas Show is coming up next. All right, bye.